B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
That's cute, Murray.
4 straight hours, you guys don't give a rat's ass or pay attention to any headline. And this one, baseball boy over here catches me slipping up and saying Freddie Kittens. Hate week continues. Great. Let's hear it again, Jimmy. It's a slight slip up.
I like it.
Do it elsewhere again. In the NFL, Cleveland Browns have hired Freddie Kittens to be their new head coach.
I swallowed the C. Oh, God. Why did I just say that, too? Jesus.
Oh, man. I've heard that about you. Okay. Oh, that is great. Freddie Kittens. Good luck, Baker Mayfield. Your new head coach is Freddie Kittens.
You see, he's going to need him to make him better.
It's a good one.
I swallowed the C.
Yeah, no, that happens too. Can't hold that against you. The thing about the Brian Belichick, it sounded, dramatic the way I put it, but I was floored by the big boy yesterday when, we were Greg Bedard. And, we're talking about, it originally started with Bedard's take that, give me one fact-based area where the Patriots are better than the Chargers, he said. He said, the Chargers are better offensively, defensively, they're bigger, they're tougher, that the Chargers have the Patriots on just about everything except special teams. And then callers rightly pointed out, well, the Patriots have the coaching. Big coaching advantage, which is true, right? I mean, on its face. And the big boy said, yeah, but I've lost some faith in Belichick in these spots after last year's Super Bowl and the Super Bowl the year before and some of these other big games. So, yeah, I give Belichick the check mark, but, well, apparently something has crawled in the back of Bedard's head that says, some of these last big games, some of these last few big games, and again, if you go through them, makes that big mistake with his personnel against Philadelphia and Malcolm Butler. That's a big one. And, Greg talked about how they defended Zach Ertz and some other things that you all knew going in was going to be a factor, and the Pats didn't really do anything to stop it. The game before was Jacksonville, where you were getting beat. You were down, and the only reason you won is because Tom Brady got hot at the end, and Jacksonville tightened up. But it's not like you were coached to victory there. And if you go the big game before that, the Super Bowl against Atlanta, brilliant, tremendous victory and all that. But all the stuff Bill tried, from a coaching standpoint, they did like a fake punt kind of thing and a double pass. None of it really worked. It's, again, Brady got hot and the opponent froze. And so when you look at some of these big games, I don't know, has some of your confidence in Belichick been frayed?
Yes, yeah. And I'm trying to be as objective as possible here. I don't see how it couldn't be. And that doesn't mean you have zero. It just means relative to where we were with Belichick and Brady in the past, I don't think there's a way you can have the same level of confidence given what we've seen in the last year or so.
And Brady, too, right. If you used to have 100% confidence in Bill or 95% confidence in Bill, what are we down to? 80%?
Right, exactly.
So
it has slipped a little.
You still have confidence in him. You still like him over Anthony Lynn. But is it the lock, stock guarantee that he's going to make all the right decisions and have that all...
No, he's not impervious to criticism. And to me, he really hasn't been since the end of 2015 and how he handled that December and said, we'll be fine as the 2 seed in the AFC. How'd that work out for you?
There's
you have to go to
one.
Denver and lose that AFC championship game.
I mean, he lost to Mike Tomlin this year. He didn't ever lose to Mike Tomlin. Since when does he?
In a sloppy, uncharacteristically horrible look of a game, too. 14 penalties, 104 yards. Did they seem prepared for that game after that horrific loss in Miami, the way that they blew that?
So, again, if you used to be 100% or 95, are you down to 80? Are you down to 70? Is it 50-50 now? Like, where are you?
I'm not going to put a number on it, but it's taking a hit. It's definitely taking a hit.
And similarly with Brady. I've said this a lot. There's going to be a game, if history's any indication, there's going to be a game here in the playoffs where the Pats are going to have to put 35 points on the board. It's happened every year. Had to have at least one game like that. Sometimes two of the three are like that. If you used to have 100% confidence level that Brady in the passing game could do it, what's your confidence level this year? Less.
Yeah, 80.
Less.
Yeah, to me, that's the biggest one is the deterioration, if that's what you want to call it, or the slippage in the Patriots' passing game, to me, might be the number one reason why they are where they are, and I have as little faith in them as I do.
Well, that's been the biggest difference, right? Because the defense is
same,
what
similar.
It's always been, which is sometimes okay, but really just sort of good, not great. Like that's their defense. And everything else. So I mean, so what's the difference in the team?
Brady's, passing game.
The passing game's not carrying them.
Right. And look, Brady takes the hit for that. It's not just him. It's Gronk. It's Edelman. It's all of it. But Brady is the quarterback, and Brady takes the biggest hit for it. So the slippage in the passing game is significant. I mean, to me, that's where I look at it and say, at any point this year, did you really look at them and say, there you go, it's back, we're good?
Yeah, just a couple, though.
I mean, to me, the week Edelman came back, I felt like, okay.
So offensively, you're saying, man?
Yeah, offensively.
Yeah, no, there were a couple.
The first half of Miami before Brady made a horrifically awful decision and then turned into a pumpkin for like three straight weeks.
And Kansas City. They put 30 points on the board, yeah. Last drive kind of thing. He finds Gronkowski. Like, that was old Patriots. So there have been, you know, snapshots of it for sure. Certainly hasn't been consistent. And so I don't know how you could have the same level of confidence in Brady in the passing game or the same level of confidence in Belichick. So that gap might be closer. And if it hasn't been for some of those things, I mean, again, let's face it. If Brady doesn't get hot against the Eagles, you're not even in that game. If he doesn't get hot against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're not even in that game. If he doesn't get hot against Atlanta at the end, you don't win that game. What's your confidence level that Brady can get hot like that at the end of a game? I mean, how many cracks did he have in Pittsburgh?
Oh, he had a bunch. They had four plays down there, didn't they?
Well, not just that, but I don't know.
That horrific interception. And after the game, he's saying he's trying to throw it out of bounds, which I still don't know if I believe or not. But either way, it was awful.
Yeah, it was dreadful.
They had a shot.
So look, again, those things felt like they were automatic in the past. And, you know, they're not, because it's not the first time they've gotten to the end of the game and lost. But to me, that's where I've lost the most faith, is in that passing game. It's just not what it was.
Okay, so Maz had a different variation of this question earlier. It was good. Of the confidence loss that you've had in those two, if you've had them, what worries you more in this game?
Right. Like, the way I put it is, if you were to ask me, what am I more confident in going into this game? Their ability to devise a game plan or their ability to execute it? And to me, it's the ability to execute it that I'm more worried about.
I would agree.
I'm confident in their ability to devise the game plan. I'm confident in Bill's ability to put something together on paper and schematically that says, this is how we have to beat the Chargers. We got to do it this way. This is what's going to work. And I think he's probably going to be right. I don't know that they're going to be able to do it. That's the part. And some of that is on the passing game. So if he wants to run the ball, it's because he doesn't believe in the passing game like he used to. And if they have to pass it, I'm not sure they can.
Well, I think, and if they have to run it, I'm not sure if they can. And that's the whole, that's my number one thing I'm just fascinated by. With the Chargers playing that 6 and 7 defense backs, they play light on defense. They sort of invite you to run against smaller personnel. So do the Patriots take that invitation? You know, and I said before, like, that's always a tough ask of a team that has a quarterback like Tom Brady to hand the ball off and say, we're going to run the ball. The Pats will do it better than anyone, I'll say that. Because Bill is game plan specific, and he didn't care about, you know, whose hands the ball is in.
Egos.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Right? He'll just do what it takes to win. So you have that going for you. But still, you know, to say, we're going to run the ball, and you got Tom Brady back there, that takes a lot. So will the Patriots do it? The Chargers are going to invite you to run with those small defensive backs out there. Will you take the opportunity to do it? Will that be the game plan? That fascinates me most. And then second is, can you do it? Can you do it? Because for all the effort they put into running the ball, I still think they're a good running team, but not great. I think some of their run blocking some weeks has been amazing. Some weeks. You know, really, that the Sony Michel time when all you guys, you know, whipped out your junk to Sony Michel when he was running through holes that were 30 yards wide. You know, it started with the 30 yards wide. Like, right? The holes that he was getting were tremendous. Didn't feel like they're quite as big in the second half of the year or later on in the year. And then, so Sony Michel, also rookie, never been in this kind of game. You keep talking about weather and how it's going to impact the Chargers. How's it going to impact him? Kid from Georgia, used to playing outdoors in good weather or in domes. And he's never played it. If there's weather, he's never played in one of these games either, as far as I could tell. So then, if they run, what's your ability to execute it? Can you do it? And if you're relying on that rookie, what's he going to look like? Like, that part, that's what interests me. Is Bill going to have that answer?
I have my doubts. And I think that, look, I think they're going to try. I mean, I think that given what their offense is now, and I say that, you know, it's not what it used to be. I think they have to try to set things up a little bit more. I think they're going to try to run.
Based on the win-loss record, just keep it on the win-loss record. If they run it 25 times or more, they're 7-0 at home this season and 3-1 on the road.
Murray, it's such a bad stat.
Why is it a bad stat, Mike?
I've explained this to you.
Because when you have a big lead, you just hand it off and kill the clock.
That's what you do. That's why that stat is super misleading. Also, there's also those 100-yard rusher stats. When so-and-so rushes for 100 yards, they're 32-3. Well, it's because you're up 21-7 in the second half, and so you're going to hand the ball off. That's how that happens. That's it. You know, your better stat to me would be first half rushing statistics. So someone needs to change that metric. When running the ball is the game plan, what's your record? That's what I want to know. Because those are plastic carries and plastic yards, usually. So that's why it's meaningless.
See, I just want to see if I think that ultimately they're not going to be able to throw the ball without being able to run it. Throw it effectively.
And
as effectively as they want to.
Just so you know, Murray, I've explained myself to you. I don't mind running the ball being a game plan. Like, I think if you're a running team, you're port. Like, forget about it. You're toast.
I mean, that was essentially the plan of Baltimore last week, and they proved how stupid that was. You've got to be able to throw the ball.
You can't be a running team. But as a one-off game plan, yeah, absolutely. If that's how you best match up with a specific opponent in a specific week is to run the ball, absolutely.
Then run it.
You won't hear me say otherwise. I'm just telling you, if you're like built behind your running back, you're stupid and you suck, and you're not going to go anywhere. So that's just how I feel about, you know, that. But if it's a one-off specific game plan thing, if a team's going to go light and invite you to run and that's the opening, do it. Take it. I just don't know if they can execute it. I don't know if they can.
See, I wonder, too, whether Michelle is really built for taking that kind of, you know, that kind of workload in the postseason. I just think the playoffs are different.
And Baltimore is a tremendous running team, and they shut you down with that light personnel.
Correct.
And now they're getting this Mebane back, which is just what a freaking horrible story. I hate even listening to it. This poor guy, his kid died. His infant died. He missed last week's game because his kid had complications coming out of childbirth, and the kid passed away to make it. And now he rejoined the team's play. Like, oh, my heart aches for that guy. I even hate talking football after that, but he's going to go play. He's a big run stuffer. He's the kind of guy, as Perillo said, that he's Vince Wilfork, that he can allow you to play with those defensive backs. He's the guy that allows you to stop the run with just the defensive line because he's such a big, effective, you know, run stuffer. So he's back for this game. I don't know what that means. But what a horrible story. I didn't even talk about it.
No, as bad as it gets. I mean, you don't wish that on anybody.
But anyway, so there are your Patriots thoughts, and that was our leadoff question. We'll get to you and your thoughts coming up next. I will also give you a programming note coming up next, and information on how you can win free Patriots tickets to Sunday's game. How do you like that? That's coming up next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well coached, very disciplined, make big plays, play good defense, got an explosive group, and it's challenging on every play. We're going to have to do a good job all the way around. We're going to need a good team effort from all the units, all the players, coaching staff, everybody, and let's go out there and be ready to compete on Sunday afternoon.
All right, Belichick today on the Chargers. Here we go, back to your phones as promised. Tom's in Philadelphia. Hi, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hi. Yeah. Sorry about that. You guys yesterday, Matt, said that Bill Belichick is the reason we go 11-5 each year, and then Tom puts us over the top.
What technology is he calling me on, first of all?
I don't know. The magic jack, maybe?
I want to hear him.
Is that like some Skype thing?
Sort of.
It feels like some sort of internet connection.
The magic jack.
And then what the hell did he say?
He said, Matt said yesterday that Bill gets you to 11-5 and Tom puts you over the top, and I think I actually said it today, but go ahead.
Tom, yes. Go ahead.
So Bill has one winning or two winning seasons without Tom, and they've never had a losing season with Tom Brady at helm. So, yeah, Lo Balotelli is definitely the reason we go 11-5 each year, at least. And then it doesn't just add up to the stats, and you guys are over stats based. And also,
I can't do that anymore. I don't even really know what he was talking about.
He was a little scattered.
Oh, I hated the phone.
A little scared. Yeah, the phone. The magic jack wasn't working.
What does that mean, magic jack? I don't even know what you said. Say that.
It's a piece of junk.
Yeah. It's a device that allegedly allows you to make free phone calls.
Okay, Chris and Canton. Go ahead, Chris.
The magic jack.
Go. Chris!
Hey, you've touched on a bunch of things since the past half hour or so. Has Brady and Belichick lost a little bit of their luster? Belichick certainly has. He had his goofus tight end out there on the final play in Miami and almost cost him a game in Chicago when he put Gordon out there on the Hail Mary.
Exactly. Fair enough, Chris.
I think also, originally I wanted to say that Philip Rivers doesn't stand a chance in New England. Doesn't stand a chance. You look at the numbers. In his prime with not just good teams, but better teams than this year. He couldn't do it.
Okay, let me just stop you there. Do you think that's fair analysis?
No.
Because Rivers has never done it, and he's been on better teams, he never will do it.
No. See, because, again, if that's all it takes, then the Patriots would have won in Pittsburgh. I mean, the Patriots dominate the Steelers, for crying out loud, and they went in there and lost 17-10. So this is just one of those things where it depends on the year, it depends on the matchup, it depends what you look like versus what they look like. There are some things that translate, some things that don't. And at the end of the day, Philip Rivers is a good player. Okay, now look, I have my doubts about the Chargers in this game too. I'm not sitting here telling you that I don't, that I think the Chargers are somehow invulnerable, because they're not.
And as improbable as it can seem, some players can change narratives, especially in the postseason. Who's one I'm thinking of?
Who would that be?
Please,
I think he holds a trump card now.
That's
actually
right.
He might. There's some sort of
a trump card shoved it up so many people's cabooses, including my. Oh, that's right, David Price. Yeah.
A lot of guys like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people said that about Alex Ovechkin. A lot of people said this about Sergio Garcia. A lot of people said this about a lot of guys. It's called being due. So just because you're 0 for whatever doesn't mean you can't win it. In fact, we see guys do it routinely all the time in all sports. They break through eventually.
Right. Often the number one prerequisite there is talent. So if you have talent, eventually things usually break your way. So
eventually break your way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so, Jimmy, that might be when our hosts aren't listening.
No, you said usually.
I thought I said eventually.
I thought you said usually.
Oh.
I wasn't going to call you on it, Tony.
Okay, let's check it. Anyway, I want to check the tape.
Because usually is different than eventually.
Oh, no, that's true. They're very different. No, they are different.
Because sometimes the dog doesn't have his day. Sometimes they just go through, but...
I thought I said eventually, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I wasn't listening.
I swallowed the sea.
All right, so someone wasn't listening. Tony and Stoneham, go ahead, Tony.
How you doing, guys? Good. Well, it took a little bit of the wind out of my sail. But before I tell you what I want to talk about, any chance of this crazy receiver playing?
The crazy?
Oh,
the guy that's on the drugs and everything.
Yo, no. Josh Gordon?
No.
No, he's...
Okay, all right, forget that. Here's my card. I want to give you some stats. Tom Brady is 7-0 against Phil Rivers.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Where the coach, referee, Torbett, has been in four games since 2014, as the head coach, referee. Patriots are 4-0, including a division win over Tennessee last year.
Oh, boy, thank God they had that ref for that game. Otherwise, they had no shot.
It could be. And Torbett also has been in 6 Charger games, and he's beat 2-4.
Huh.
And this is what bookies look for. They look for these kind of stats.
Okay.
You know, back in the old days in baseball, pitchers could throw the glove on the mound and win. This just carries over into these sports, too.
I understand. I love the way he let off his call. Is that crazy receiver going to play? Who are you talking about? You know, the one that's on the drugs? So the Chargers' track record is... I mean, it's relevant to a point, and I would feel that way more if they hadn't gone to Denver, Seattle, Kansas City, Baltimore in the playoffs, what am I missing, London, wherever, and won. So there's a battle-tested nature to this Chargers team that I think is different than other Charger teams. Maybe they get freaked out just looking at Tom Brady across the sidelines and Belichick across the sidelines. Maybe, but they've been in some intimidating spots here all year, and they've generally come through in them.
I mean, it's hard to say they can't win a significant game on the road. It's hard to say that. Now, they might lose this one, but we're going to say, well, they suck on the road. They're 8-0 when they get on a plane.
So the ref thing, like, I don't think refs throw games for teams. I don't. And I don't think the league wants certain teams to win. I don't. I don't think Goodell, this great myth that, you know, Goodell wanted you to lose because of Deflategate. He could care less if you won or lost the game. He wanted to win in court, and he did. He beat you in court. He got the win that he wanted.
You didn't think the AFC Championship game last year was a little fishy?
You mean pro-Patriot?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how?
Well, I mean, the Patriots got called for one penalty while the Jaguars got hosed for like 9 to the tune of 100-something yards. And Miles Jack, they called down. Now, granted, as a Patriots fan, I'm happy that they did, but it seemed a little bit fishy. And, again, I still think that it would be a bad look, we disagree on this, for the Chargers to host the AFC Championship game. But if the Colts end up upsetting Kansas City, I think you could see calls going the Patriots' way on Sunday. And Russell Okung, one of the offensive linemen of the Chargers, seems to think so, too. There's already articles about this. And he said, because he thought that they were getting jobbed at the end of the game last week against Baltimore, that Roger Goodell doesn't want us to come home. He said after their 23-17 win of the Ravens, that's all I can say. He seems to think that, you know, he doesn't want, it's bad for the league to have this team play in a place that seats 23,000 people.
If I were the league, I would want L.A. I would want both L.A. teams. The league has just made a huge bet on the city of Los Angeles. They're building $1 trillion. I keep saying trillion, but it's something like it. It's like $1 billion stadium, a $2 billion complex. It's ridiculous. They put two teams in the second biggest market in the country. They have just made a huge bet on Los Angeles. They should want L.A. to win championships, to be in these games, to grow interest, to get a foothold in that market. It's hugely important to them. Who cares about the stadium? It doesn't. It's a TV show anyway. So they shouldn't care. I mean, I don't know how they feel, but if I'm the league, I want L.A. there. But more than anything, they're not going to impact the game. You stop with get the tinfoil hat off your head. They're not going to assign a ref to help you win a game or lose a game. It's not the way it works.
It's an L.A. conspiracy.
Oh, stop. I mean, I'm all for a good conspiracy theory, but not when it comes to the league wants this team to win and made sure that it happens. Because if that's what we're doing, then we'll all drive ourselves crazy. Why they do this? Why they do that? Well, the league wanted it. Well, why did the league want it? Like, they're talking about, then we're doing InfoWars, right? We're doing something nutty. So let's just not do that. This ref, the Pats 4-0 in front of this guy. Then I want to know, why does this ref and his crew, do they throw a lot of flags?
See, that's what I want
flags?
To know.
Do they throw pass interference a lot or not? And does that somehow play to the Patriots' advantage? That, to me, is a better analysis. What about that crew? And how? And those stats exist, too, and there's definitely trends with certain crews. Certain crews throw a lot of flags. Certain crews don't. Then again, these are all-star crews, right? The Super Bowl's an all-star crew, but are these the crews that exist in the regular season? Are they still together for the postseason? I don't even know.
It feels like they're mixing and matching, because I told you earlier the only female ref is going to be involved here. She's going to be, you know, a side judge or something like that.
Okay, so I don't know if she was on his crew to begin with or not. I don't know, but that's an analysis that I want.
Yeah, I want to know whether or not they're going to call the game tight or let him play. Like, to me, I'd like to know that.
Hey, Vinny, what do I look like in a tinfoil hat again? That was pretty good. I'm just curious. Thank you very much. The Fuppet. It's a visual for you listening on the radio. Sorry.
It's an anti-Charger conspiracy.
Okay, I'm not going to do this. Like, what a waste of time. You know, Goodell wants you to lose or win, so that's why. Oh, the league doesn't want him in L.A., so this is why. Like, God, you'll drive yourself crazy. You'll talk all sorts of nonsense.
I love when Murray does head voice.
But does this ref throw a lot of holding calls, and does that play to the Patriots' advantage or not advantage? Like, that, I think, is fair.
What's the guy's name again?
Alex Jones.
The Patriots are controlling the weather, and that's why they want him to win. It's a false Charger conspiracy.
They're seeding the clouds. Yeah. Like, give me a
break. Do more, Murray.
We just stop with this.
Make me laugh more, Murray.
No, get to the effing headline so I can screw up Freddie
right,
Kitchens'
here
name
the,
again.
Freddie Kitchens just named Cleveland Browns head coach, and we're back with more.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Filger and Mads.
I love it.
You were right, Mads.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
We have a tough football team, no doubt. Going on the road, it really doesn't faze this team. We love ball. We like playing football. We like competing. And we know going into Foxborough, you know, they're undefeated there. And they're tough to beat. And period, it doesn't matter where you play the Patriots, they're tough to beat. You know, they have a wealth of experience on that team, and they're well coached by Coach Belichick and his staff. You know, we're looking forward to coming out there, but we know our hands are full.
No. Once again, another conference call where the guy's on a landline with a handset talking into the mic, not firing off emails while he's talking, not slurping on a sucker with his feet up talking to you on a conference call thing. I teased before how you can win free Patriots tickets and a programming note, and I forgot, of course, to land the tease. I was too busy typing out an email. Here it is. Programming notes. 1, Felger and Maz off-air show. Tonight, Facebook Live, me and Murray. In back, 6:05 p.m. Okay, fire off your questions. Murray will swear a lot. We'll talk about things that we don't talk about on the air.
And I will have 2 announcements as well.
Oh, Murray has announcements.
2. One of which you can win Patriots tickets from, too.
Okay, so
You'll have to wait.
All right, so... Mm-hmm. Go. Ooh. So there's another team. So Facebook Live tonight, 6:05. Felger and Maz off-air show, me and Murray. He's going to announce 2 things, one of which involves you winning free Patriots tickets. Second programming note. Ted Johnson will join us on the show tomorrow for an hour.
Yep.
We're going to be at the Garden for, it's a Bruins night, but we're going to be all Patriots, and Ted's going to join us for an hour.
Excellent.
Okay, 3
Look
to 4.
Look forward to seeing the big fella.
3 to 4, right? Former Patriots tight end Ted Johnson. He's joined
linebacker.
Joined us here on the Sports Hub. Thank you, Maz, from Carlsbad, California, went to the University of Colorado, etc. So he will join us for an hour tomorrow on the air. That's just like a programming note. Patriots tickets. We're giving away Patriots. I don't know what Murray's got cooking, but we are.
I hope it's legal.
Felger and Maz.
It's an event I'm working.
Are giving away Patriots tickets tomorrow twice. You'll have 2 opportunities to win free Patriots tickets tomorrow on our show. So start listening at 2. I'll give you details on how to win them all day long. 2 different cracks at it, folks. So tune in tomorrow for that. If nothing, you can hate us like poison, but if you want to win free tickets, you're stuck with us. So there you go. Those are the notes. Back to your phones. Rocco, my buddy Rocco in Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, listen, I called a little early this week about the Chargers being a worthy opponent, and I feel like this year, I'm just saying this year, that the Chargers are kind of more physically and mentally tougher than the Patriots. I mean, you can bully the Patriots. Look at that Tennessee game, man. Tennessee just bullied and put the Patriots into place. I mean, Brady this season has been a little off. You know, he doesn't want to take the hit, and he missed a lot of receivers open. And, you know what I mean? The receivers were open. They were open like a Chelsea girl on a Saturday night. That's how open they were.
So,
on top of that, like, I just feel like you can punk the Patriots. I mean, look at the interior of the defensive line of the New England Patriots. You can run through them. I mean, that's what I have. I mean, like,
okay,
I don't know what you guys think about that.
Rocco, your comment line says Patriots are softer than the Chargers. I think they are, or they might be. I mean, I don't know, based on the regular season. We'll see what happens Sunday. But the Patriots got pushed around more than the Chargers. The Chargers won in more tough environments than the Patriots. The Chargers are bigger. They're more physical. If you want to say the Chargers, the bleeping San Diego Chargers are tougher than you, they might be. I don't know.
So when he said that...
You can make a case for it this year where in the past you've never been able to make that case.
So when he said you can bully the Patriots, my instinct was to say half the time. On the road, you can bully the Patriots. At home, their defense showed up. Like, and to me, it felt like they were more physical, more engaged at home, all of it. Now, at the end of the day, like, do I think San Diego is going to be intimidated by the Patriots coming in here physically now? No.
Not physically.
I don't think so. No, not after what I saw last week. To me, that was the biggest takeaway I had from the game. I didn't realize the Chargers would stand up to the Ravens like that. And say what you will about the Ravens, no quarterback, anything else, but they wanted to play power football. And they got stuffed completely. So, I think the Chargers can hack it.
Okay, a couple coaching calls. Here's Will in Tewksbury. What do you got for me, Will?
Gentlemen, thank you. First of all, the Coach Kittens and I Swallowed the Sea should be the timers for the rest of Fat Boy's appearances on Tuesday.
It's Big Boy. That's the Fat Boy's.
There should be no other content. I just had a question. Steering away from the cheating, horrible Patriots. Mike, your second favorite team, the New York Jets, if you had any thoughts on their head coaching vacancy, McCarthy, Gase, or, God help me, the Baylor head coach, wondering what you thought.
So I'd go McCarthy there, and you know I'm no huge fan of Mike McCarthy, but when you stack up Mike McCarthy next to Freddie Kittens, you know, the 17-year-old kid in Green Bay, Vic Fangio?
Fangio. Careful.
Fangio? Like, give me Mike McCarthy. You know, and one thing I would say, you know, McCarthy did develop Aaron Rodgers. That, I give him full credit for that. Aaron Rodgers was not this player when he came out of Cal. He had a different release. He had a different style of play. He had, McCarthy did get to him early and did develop him. And if the whole thing in New York is riding on Sam Darnold, and it is, then you could do worse than Mike McCarthy.
I think McCarthy would be a good hire for the Jets.
I mean, so, you know, the Jets at least would be getting someone good, if not great, but they'd be locked into good. And given the abject disaster that franchise has been, start with good. Lock in good. And so, you know, no need to shoot for great with some risk. Like this, McCarthy has a high floor. I'll put it like that. You know, he's not going to be an abject disaster because he's not an awful head coach. He's just, you know, he's limited, but he can develop quarterbacks.
I'll tell you, I don't mind the Arians hire in Tampa either.
Oh, I hate it.
For similar reasons. Like, you know, you get a young quarterback there who's not so young anymore, but who could use a veteran guy to kind of get through to him.
Maybe I should give Arians more respect. I don't know why I don't. Stupid hat.
Yeah, it's the hat.
The hat.
The hat and the glasses.
He wears.
Gee, I wonder why that gets on your nerves.
Because he wears a chapeau. Why wouldn't that get? That doesn't get on your nerves.
Look at the same look 5 days a week.
It's a beret.
It's not as bad. He wears a beret, Murray. You don't come in here with a chapeau.
I don't know. I kind of have the same kind of hat.
No, he wears skull caps.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I call him berets.
No, he wears like a French thing. Like,
yeah, like a beret
with his glasses. Yeah.
He's got that beatnik thing going.
Yeah.
Hey, no. Daddy-o.
Here's Pete.
Oh, you cool cats.
Pete in Mansfield. Speaking of cats, Freddie Kittens is in. Whoever that guy is, he's now the head coach of the best young player in the league. Pete Mansfield, how do you feel about that?
Well, you want to know who he is. I actually worked with him back in Arizona, and he's a tight ends coach. And when they needed an offensive coordinator, they passed him up for Mike McCoy. He didn't make it through October. And the only reason he was a coordinator in Cleveland is because they fired psycho Todd Haley. He's only got 8 games as a coordinator. Like, can you be more Cleveland than that?
Oh, my God. Pete, so you're a tight end who played?
No. He was the tight ends coach when I was working in Arizona.
As what?
I was working with Paul Turner in IT, but I still knew Freddie.
Very good. So you're a nerd.
And I
say it with all love and respect in my heart. I didn't hear your answer. But anyway, so I'm like, I've even dug into this guy's background. Freddie Kittens. Seriously, he wasn't, that's right, he wasn't even the coordinator.
Yeah, but allegedly he had something to do with Mayfield's development even before he was a coordinator, right? All I'm saying,
Mayfield just got there.
Okay, but he's been there. My point is they elevated him to coordinator in the middle of the year, so he was working with Mayfield before that. But regardless, here's what I'll tell you. This one is different to me than some of the other hires because at least he was internal. They know him, right? Like they have a clue, I hope. I don't know if the guy can coach or not, but at least they had an internal candidate that they said, you know what, we think this can work with Baker. We're going to go with it.
I mean, if you're being optimistic, you're saying that. If you're looking at the other way, you say Cleveland's just expedient and lazy.
Look, from our perspective, I think it tells you worlds about how people were looking at McDaniels. That Freddie Kittens got the job before Josh McDaniels did.
Forevermore, Freddie Kittens.
Freddie effing Kittens.
Played quarterback at Alabama, quarterback's coach under the Arizona Cardinals with Bruce Arians for a while, running back's coach. And so he is an offensive-minded guy. And
that guy
likes to play with yarn.
That load played quarterback?
Yeah.
Have you seen a picture of him?
Was he a whale?
I think he's let it go a little bit. But he played quarterback at Alabama?
From 93 to 97.
Freddie Kittens.
Josh McDaniels is like persona non grata.
So, I don't mind Josh. I'm not going to rip on him, but I do like to think that what he did last year is held against him.
Absolutely.
Because it should be. You can't be a C tease.
Coach.
Coach tease. You can't be a coach tease. You can't play that game, you know, put your foot in, put your foot out. I want to. I really want the jump. No, I'm not going to. You can't do that without that catching. That should catch up to you. And I hope it did. Just for pure the scales of justice. Not necessarily because I want it, you know, to screw Josh over. But that's what should happen. People should hold that against you.
Don't you think it did?
And I do. And for this reason. Because when you're hiring Josh, he's not just a head coach. He wants personnel power. He wants to pick his own GM or be his own GM. Like, he wants the whole thing. So it never would have worked in Green Bay because Gutkist has to be the GM and Mark Murphy's the president. He's got to run the show, and they're the big swinging schmenzers there, right? So it never would have worked. Josh has to have his own program. But if you're hiring him to run your whole program, it's like he's the president of football operations. Like, that's a much bigger job than just the head coach. So now you're talking about he runs half the building. And in that spot, character should really come into play. Because he's not just my coach. He's the whole face of it. He runs the whole freaking thing. And there I would really hold all this stuff against him.
I'll tell you, when you add it all up, you go back to the whole Denver experience, and now this on top of it, if I were a team, I'd be scared to death to hire Josh McDaniels.
If he's just a coach, you got a strong GM, you got strong, you know, management on top of him, and he just coaches the team and doesn't run anything else, isn't in charge of hiring and firing or this and that, then, you know, maybe. But I just think the stakes are raised when you're running the whole program. And then I think people take a closer look at you. And in that regard, I would look at it and say, so I'm going to turn my whole team, I'm going to turn my whole franchise over to this guy who had the plane on the tarmac for him and stepped off and screwed over a team and all sorts of... No, I'm not ready to do that.
In fact, the more I think about it, he sits down in the interview. The first question you ask him is, what happened in Denver? Well, that was a long time ago. You know, I was young. I've learned a lot since then. Really? Then what happened with Indy? Because that was last year.
You know, they said last night on NBC Sports Boston when I was on, he's had 17 head coaching interviews since the Denver thing. 17.
Yeah, I think teams finally just said, screw this guy.
Enough.
Screw him. He lobbied for the Cleveland job openly. And I say openly, back channels, okay? Because that's what I think that whole thing was in the Canton suppository. Like, to me, that story that popped up there was McDaniels wants the job. The writer in Canton was talking to his old man. They knew he was lobbying for the job, and Cleveland said, no thanks.
So there's that. Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, three pieces of sound to run through here in the final word. Let's start with Felger against Mike in Danvers earlier today.
What do you got, Mike?
I think you guys are overplaying the Chargers a little bit too much. The combined record of the teams they play this year is 89 wins, 101 losses, and 2 ties. Okay, that's number one.
What's the Patriots?
Well, I didn't do the Patriots.
Well, so what? Then what's what's the relevance of that number?
I'm talking about strength of schedule this year. The Patriots had, but I'm not going there.
You can't possibly tell me that the Chargers did not prove themselves in the regular season. That's just dumb. That's dumb if you say that. Dumb.
Their opponents, Mike. That's all.
Mike, at Pittsburgh, at Baltimore in the playoffs, at Seattle, at Kansas City. And you're going to say that they didn't prove themselves? I rarely use the D word, but that's dumb. I've heard too many Patriots fans do it. That's ridiculous. What's tougher? Denver had a down year. Is it tougher to win at Denver or at Buffalo or at the Jets? Stop being stupid. If you're telling me you think the Patriots are going to win because they're home and they're better, and fine. That you predict that, that's fine. That they're favored by 5 points, so to think they're going to win is fine. You don't need to justify it. But to go back and try and rewrite history to what? Make yourself feel better?
This is the
It's just dumb.
When you win the road games that they won, how do you pick a
Just accept it. They were 8-1 on the road.
It's as simple as this. They finished 12-4 and second in their division.
They had a better record than you.
I don't know how you could try to discredit
them. No, but their win percent, 89-1. Why do you do that? Don't. I mean, you just. But it blows me away. Like, now their wins at Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Denver, Baltimore in the playoffs. Nah, they didn't really do anything. And it's just.
Yeah, Felga, those teams didn't try. Seriously, though, that's irritating. Not to mention the fact that every time that guy calls, you notice he's like sucking on a Jolly Rancher or something like that. You notice? Or Felga up.
It might be his teeth. Yeah, right. Would you just... I like Mike and Darren. I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to yell at you.
Oh, if it was your teeth, I'd take it back.
He's a good customer,
good caller.
I was going
to say, don't put a piece of candy in your mouth before you call the show.
Well, obviously, Felger rather fired up today. Maybe that's why a certain... something that's not allowed...
It's been a while since I've done this.
This is great.
Ended up on the air. In fact, if you were listening on the app, you heard it in real time. But here it is beeped.
On Bill's end, you know, again, Josh is... Landline.
Hey, how are you, Josh?
Great, Henry. How you doing?
Yeah. Landline, into the phone. You can hear it. Hey, how you doing? Good, thanks. Good, how are you? Bill, he's back here. You ask him a question and he's, you know.
Well, is he the one who came off?
Yeah, that's the way we substituted that group.
Do you wish in hindsight you had him on the field for that play?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that could have been better on that play.
Yeah, and F you. But by the way, let me finish this email that I'm typing. Like, so I used to blame the reporters.
It's Bill.
That's Bill. Like, you could just tell he was typing something and then stopped and he answered. But it's Bill. So, you know.
Yeah, that's the way we substituted that group.
So not Bill ain't that ain't no land, or he's not on, you know, he's doesn't have the handset. He's
speakerphone.
Yeah.
He's back here, he's typing. You know.
Feet are kicked up on the desk. Yeah. Search around on Pornhub.
What's this ass? What's this ass gonna ask? Sorry. I forgot you couldn't say that. Sorry. Whoops.
It's true. Jimmy's right. You were about to say it the first time, stopped yourself, and then said it anyway.
I don't know what happened there.
Sometimes you got to get it out. I understand.
Sorry.
Finally,
not me, man. I never swear on the air.
We did have a case of when hosts aren't listening just a short time ago.
Yeah.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Often, the number one prerequisite there is talent. So if you have talent, eventually things usually break your way. So
eventually break your leg.
Right. Yeah. So, Jimmy, that might be when a host not listening. God.
No, you said usually.
I thought you said eventually.
I thought you said usually.
Oh. I actually said both.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
Oh, no, that's nailed.
Yeah.
That is the...
Eventually things usually break your way. Eventually.
That's the Doug Marrone. What's the word I'm searching for? Is it urgency? No. It's something else. What is it? It's a urgency. That was my bad. Nailed. Damn.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.